Welcome to AMA Edgewise. I'm Dave Summers. AMA Edgewise is brought to you by the American Management Association. Emily King is a nationally recognized expert on the transition from military service to civilian employment. She has worked extensively with veterans and civilian hiring organizations and is a frequent speaker at industry events, including SHRM and ASTD. She's the author of Field Tested, Recruiting, Managing, and Retaining Veterans. Emily, welcome to Edgewise.
Thank you, Dave.
Emily, what is the single most important thing that employers need to know about hiring veterans?
Single most important thing to know is there will be a learning curve. It is a transition from one strong culture to a different culture, and it is worth it.
And what would you say are the biggest mistakes companies make when it comes to recruiting a veteran?
Recruiters who don't have military experience usually don't intuitively know how to understand what they see on a military resume, because the language is different and career develops differently in the military. So the biggest mistake is assuming that the most recent job or position a service member held was the highest level of their achievement in their career. Actually, a military career does often proceed in an upward way, but it also, from a functional standpoint, proceeds horizontally. So, for example, a person may have had oversight over a large group of people in one job, but in the most recent position, they were in a strategic advisory role and had very few direct reports. That can be misunderstood as the person either doesn't have leadership experience or did and wasn't given it again later.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let's say a company has hired a veteran. What are some of the big mistakes they make when they're orienting them?
Big companies and some smaller companies often will have some type of formalized company-specific orientation training for new hires. It's a mistake to put a newly separated military service member into that because they have no context for understanding that company-specific information. They're missing a basic context about what the organization is there to do and how that differentiates it from other organizations and why employees buy into the mission or feel motivated to work towards the success of that organization.
Right.
Organizations assume that they're hiring people who have worked for civilian organizations before, so they have all this tacit knowledge.
And what are your thoughts about managing the performance of veterans?
Service members are very skilled technically, and they have a lot of hands-on experience, but that experience has been demonstrated in a very different context. So in managing the performance of a former service member, it's important to make a transition from here's how you performed this function in the military to here's how it's going to look different here and here's why.
And what about developing the career path of an employee who's a veteran?
The biggest mistake I see here is an organization typically will leave career development largely in the hands of each employee. If we want to move up, we have to figure that out for ourselves and work with our management team to achieve our career goals. In the military, it's very automated because of the huge numbers of people involved. The performance assessment process is very impersonal. There's no room for advocacy or influence. There's no ability to sell yourself into another role or to skip levels. So especially in the enlisted ranks, the service member isn't accustomed to plotting out their career plan and then going about executing it.
So what you're saying is you have to keep in mind the complete picture of the person that you're hiring.
Exactly.
And you have to see them as an individual. And as with any individual, they're bringing in obviously a unique skill set, but they're also bringing a certain lack of context that other folks might have.
And further proof of that is I rarely see a service member leave a civilian job because they couldn't do the job. It's almost never functional capability that causes someone to leave. It's how they do the job in the civilian environment that causes either dissatisfaction for the employee or a disconnect with the employer that would cause them to leave.
Interesting. And how much of that is determined by which branch of the service this veteran was part of?
I think it would be dangerous to make a global statement that one branch of service trains someone to think and work more independently than another, because there are going to be variations based on functional expertise and the context in which someone is working. The rank that they have in the military will give them more or less latitude, and that's going to be the case across branches. So I'm not necessarily comfortable calling out any branch-specific differences.
Right.
It varies by person.
And that's an important educational point for employers. You see the resume, there are broad-based assumptions you really should not make.
That's correct. And I give an example in the book. It's a quote from one of the service members who was interviewed for the book. It's very easy for a civilian recruiter to look at a military resume and say, oh, this guy drove a tank. Well, we don't have tanks here, so this person has nothing to offer us. The fact is, the tank, it's a highly computerized vehicle. It's a hugely expensive asset that the people operating it have responsibility for. So the better approach for a recruiter to take than, we don't have tanks, we can't use this person, is to ask questions about what was required of you to operate the tank. What kind of conditions did you find yourself in, and what kind of problems did you have to work your way out of?
And there are work teaming issues that come into play.
Exactly.
As well.
That's a great point. A lot of people will have the stereotype that service members just follow orders. They don't think for themselves, which is detrimental and just wrong, because when you think about all of the men and women who are deployed in the desert in another part of the world right now, in order to accomplish whatever the task is that they have to figure out how to make that happen in the environment they're completely unfamiliar with. And they have to deal with immediate crises that erupt in the moment. So I would caution people who might have that stereotype, which is common to have. All we really have is movies that tell us what it's like. And a lot of times movies present caricatures rather than accurate images of what military service is like and how military service members work and how they think.
Right. There are biases, and people just need to get past those.
Right. And the first step in any kind of bias or any kind of diversity topic is becoming aware of the biases that we have. A lot of times, if we haven't been confronted with working beside or managing a career service member, we don't even know what those biases might be that we have or that we have them. But as we encounter day-to-day issues in the workplace, we may realize I made a wrong assumption about that. And to be effective, we need to pay attention to those, look at them, and be open to the possibility of recalibrating our assumptions.
Can you give us an example of a best practice for retention of veteran employees?
A key to retention is early engagement with the organizations. We need to recognize that service members are deeply connected to the mission of their organization. It drives everything, how they behave, how they dress, and how they address each other. Having that mission that they can believe in, clearly in sight all the time, is what's motivated them. They haven't been motivated by money, certainly, working in the military, or by a lavish lifestyle or
exactly.
celebrity
yeah.
status. They're really driven by this internal commitment to the mission. And what often happens that gets in the way of retention in a civilian organization is the mission is not explained in terms they can buy into, and how their role connects to the larger mission isn't fully explained. So they don't feel a strong connection to anything. Those connections are made by how a company brands itself in its recruiting material, how it presents itself in the recruiting process, the new hire orientations, and then, of course, like what it's actually like to work there. What I see is companies just bringing folks on, not paying a lot of attention to developing a bond between them and the organization, and then sending them off to do their work, maybe not even in a company facility, maybe in a client facility. And that's a recipe for attrition, the opposite of retention. So one of the key things is a connection. The service member needs to have either a connection to a person, a key relationship with their manager, for example, or peers that they respect, or a connection to the organization itself in order for retention to be increased.
Emily, is there some advice that you could give an HR executive at a company that wants to hire veterans?
I would say do a little bit of organizational self-reflection first and ask yourself, why is it that we want to do this? To what end? Is it just to do what it seems to be the fashion to do, to be patriotic? Is it because there's a real difference that service members can make in the work that we're trying to do here? And then I think learn from past experience. Have we hired military folks in the past? And if so, how have they performed and how long have they stayed? What things that worked can we make sure we incorporate? And what can we learn from things that didn't seem to work, maybe that we learned in an exit interview or from talking to the person's manager, so that we can increase our retention of those we hire?
And to wrap it up here, what other practical tools would someone who read Field Tested find in the book?
They're going to find everything that they need to succeed with former service members in their organization. It has checklists. It has exercises that you think through and do while you're reading so that you can apply the material to your work environment. It's going to help you develop a business case if you need to present to senior leadership something that says, we want to hire veterans and here's why it's a good thing to do. It's going to help you optimize the entire employee life cycle from before they even come in the door through their earliest days to their progression through your organization, all with retention in mind. The book is completely unique because it comes from a business perspective, not from the military perspective, which is the key differentiator in making this valuable. It comes from the perspective, here's how to facilitate the transition from one culture to another from a business standpoint.
We've been speaking to Emily King, author of a new book, Field Tested, Recruiting, Managing, and Retaining Veterans, published by AMICOM, a division of the American Management Association. Emily, thanks for being with us on Edgewise today.
Thank you so much.
AMA training courses are now available direct to your desktop. Our virtual seminars deliver the power of AMA training without the travel, without time away from the office, but with the ability to catapult your skill set and career to new heights. For more information, visit amanet.org/virtual-seminars. We'd love to get your feedback on today's program. You can either email us at podcast@amanet.org or call 800-697-3406. Your comments may become part of a future program. Thanks for taking us along. I'm Dave Summers, and you've been listening to AMA's Edgewise.